TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 124, and I am Libya, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Tom from Glendale.
This is Susie from Sherman Oaks.
Peter from West Hollywood.
And we are about to get started with the news. We didn't do it last week. Thank you for
like
the sound effect.
World.
And we didn't do it last week, so we'll do it this week. And first piece of news I have is that Marty Noxon just got a deal with, I think it's Showtime, or it could be HBO, but I'm thinking Showtime, to do a comedy about divorce. That's always funny.
That'll be a laugh, right?
And the other piece of news, which I should have told you guys last week, but we weren't doing news, which is that John Barrowman has been cast as a semi-regular or regular, I'm not sure, on Arrow. I'm sure it'll be how the audience responds to his presence.
And he's somebody who has a connection to Oliver's family.
So. Right. Yeah. Well, the big thing is, the whole point of the Arrow, for those of you who have seen the pilot, is that he's going through this list that his father has and taking out all the people who are criminal elements of his city. And I'm assuming Barrowman's name is on the list. I think he's kind of the big bad.
You think so?
Yeah, because they said he's a rich guy of the city, and almost everybody who's rich is evil on the show. Well, especially
Luthor,
on the show. Yeah, he's kind of, I think he's going to be like the Lex Luthor if he works out. He'll either, I guess he might be for the whole show, or he gets killed at the end of the season.
So. Oh, they also cast an actress to play the Huntress.
Yes, I saw they were casting a lot of the other superheroes, because somebody said that they have, was it Marvel or DC?
DC.
That they actually have license for a lot of the other DC characters.
Which is cool.
Yeah. So, any other news?
Oh, speaking of Marvel and DC, as part of Joss Whedon's deal to direct Avengers 2, there is a television series attached to that for ABC. Set in the Marvel Universe that he will executive produce.
Are you kidding? You're not kidding. No, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
That's what you miss when you go overseas for so long.
Oh my.
It's part of his deal.
So on ABC, Joss Whedon will be back. Thank you. Away from Fox. I'm tired of being on Fox. So that could kind of rock.
It could if they pick. Well, he's written for Marvel Comics, so.
Right, but I mean, do we know like when he's going to shoot the pilot?
We don't know any details about the series. Well, some people are hoping that since Fox has lost the rights to Daredevil because they couldn't get
want Daredevil. He's boring.
He doesn't have to be boring.
I don't
In
like
Joss's
Daredevil.
Head, he may not be.
I don't like Daredevil.
Joss could take the most uninteresting character.
Amazing man.
No,
I just
amazing man.
Oh, he's really?
Yeah.
I thought you were making a joke.
There is an amazing man, but there's also one just called Amazing Man.
The worst superhero name ever.
I have one piece of news aside from that. The CW has given a script order for Wrecking Ball, which is a political procedural from Richard Haydom, who's on the writing staff of Grimm right now.
Right,
and
I saw that.
It would be about a campaign strategist described as a JFK Jr. type who has to solve underdog cases and political intrigue. I think it's kind of interesting that political intrigue.
I
don't think it's going to be period.
Okay. Didn't he just get greenlit for a pilot, though, only, right?
Just the script.
Oh, just the script. See, that's why I didn't report it. I don't...
Well, the pilot script. But I'm sure Noxon's is only for a pilot script, too. Because they usually... They want the script first, and then if they like the script, then they'll film it.
Shoot it.
And then if they like it, then they'll order it.
And then they'll cancel it after two episodes.
Unless it's got hot, young, vapid white people, it'll stay on for a while.
I don't even know what to say to that.
On the CW.
Oh, okay. Good point. No other news? We're good?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so let's take off and start talking about the shows. First up, we're going to talk about Breaking Bad.
Wow.
Great.
Yeah, Peter called me and was like, well, why didn't you tell me the episode was this good?
I watched it twice.
Oh,
just
okay.
To see if I missed anything.
Oh, it was quite excellent.
Well, Tom, let me ask you this. I want to see, I had asked Libya, and I'm just curious what your take was. What do you think the point, there's a scene where we see that Jesse is about to leave and he sees Walt whistling. What do you think the point of that was?
Because Walt's pretending like he's really broken up about it, and then he's freaking whistling.
Exactly. Yes, that was what I said.
Yeah. That's exactly what Olivia said. I thought we were supposed to recognize what he was whistling.
No.
It's the fact that he went through all that effort to try and convince Jesse, who up to now is
always really
believed
him. Torn up about
this
kid being
killed.
This
is so tragic and terrible. And then just like he thinks Jesse's gone, and he's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, it doesn't matter. It does. And Jesse, I think, hopefully realizes that Walt is Walt now. He's
Walt is cold.
Walt is evil. He must be destroyed.
But yeah, talk about awkward family dinner.
Oh!
That was really great. The whole Jesse frozen food and everything, and how it never looks like it does on the box and stuff.
Oh! This whole... I love Aaron Paul as an actor.
Right?
I just hope...
So good, yeah. He's great.
He just... They give him some of the most interesting monologues sometimes.
Well,
like,
and yeah, that whole scene was basically a monologue.
But it was brilliant.
Yeah, because no one else is really talking.
It was brilliant. I mean, and he's trying to cut the ice because he can sense the tension in the room. But this, I don't know if I'll ever look at lasagna the same way.
What's so amazing is, as awkward as the whole scene was, what was amazing is the fact that each person at that table was coming at it from a completely different mindset.
Absolutely.
You know, Walter's just like, I own both of you, and I'm manipulating both of you. I made you stay for dinner, and I'm making you stay and make the dinner, because I have the hold over both of you.
Right.
Then you have, of course, Jesse, who's just like...
oblivious.
Okay. Yeah, he's like, Walt said I should stay. I might as well, because he has no idea what's really going on between them. So he does his bit and thinks this might be a normal dinner in their house. And then there's her just filling up on the wine, throwing daggers at Walt across the table until she's like, may I be excused? And it was just like, just that dynamic at the table alone was amazing.
Well, and her thing is, she's mad at him for telling her family that she had an affair and putting all the blame on everything that's going on her.
Well, of course. Yep. So it was just amazing.
The thing that's fascinating is that, yes, Walt does own Skylar, and she is obvious. I mean, but she got her little dig in by keeping the kids away. Which, of course, Walt blames totally on her. And,
yeah, but that was her goal, you know.
That is her goal, I mean. But Jesse doesn't know he's owned. And I have a feeling once he isn't the sharpest pencil in the box, but he's not a complete idiot either. Mm-hmm. And once he finds out, the fit is going to hit the shan.
Yeah. Well, and we know that he can be really resourceful when he puts his mind to it.
Absolutely.
So he could.
Absolutely.
Plus,
Mike Air Troutman is already on allied with Jesse.
Yeah.
So if they are actively going after Walt.
Walt's still going to. I think Mike's days are numbered, actually.
I don't disagree with you. However, that's one of those things where he's not going down. He is going down swinging, and he's not going down alone.
I think he's going to go down swinging.
He will poison the well. He will salt the ground.
I don't think Mike's going to make it to the end of the series, just because Walt is already eyeing him as someone he has to kill. And I'm like, that's never good.
Well, the scene where the chain to the radiator. Thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know Walt's decision right then is Mike's gonna go.
Mike's out of here.
Absolutely.
Do you guys think that the plan that he has is, remember at the end I got a plan that we all get our money, we keep the methylamine or I'm still able to make the crystal meth. Do you think that plan is basically what's taking us to the break? Because there's
Two episodes left. Two episodes left this year, 8 next year, we're done.
So there's 16 total.
Right.
Yeah, they gave it a longer season so they could split it.
So with 2 episodes left, I am wondering if that's if his plan is what takes us to the break. I think
like
it is.
What we find, whatever that plan is, because we still don't know what it is.
We'll find out what the plan is next week.
And it could end, and I wouldn't be surprised if Mike gets killed before the end of this break. Like, that's maybe the end. And then we go
into... I don't know.
That would be too soon.
I think that would be too soon.
Because it would take time to kill Mike.
And not only that, but even though Walt thinks he's smarter than he actually is, the problem is Mike has all these people who got nabbed that he's paying off.
Yeah.
Right. And if anything happens to Mike, and if Walter doesn't know who all those people are, he's screwed.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, but I just realized what Walt's going to do. He's going to use... Remember the kid was like, I got connections in prison.
Yeah.
Right.
He's going to use that kid to kill the people in prison. So
he doesn't know who they are.
That will be part of the plan.
Okay.
But anyway, let's move on. Yep. Wow. Let's move on.
But one more thing. It is a crime that Vince Gilligan or his writing staff has not been recognized by the Emmys.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
shameful.
Alright, let's move on. Next up is True Blood.
Speaking of good writing, oh, wait a minute.
Says the man who hasn't been watching the show all season.
I gave up on this show.
I know, but I was just about to say the show has taken off. It's kind of awesome.
It
right
is,
now.
Right?
Yeah, it's really
it's
good
okay
right
now.
Yeah, I
actually okay. Well,
no, it's more than okay.
He said it's okay.
It's more than okay. She's saying yes, it's more than okay.
Yeah.
But it's, like, I'd say the first couple episodes are kind of weak because you're like, where's this going? And you're not sure what the authority is doing. But it took off.
Well, now because now you really have the fairies totally in on this whole thing, too.
Yeah,
so
and it's just like, oh, and the way it ended with Russell was fantastic.
Crap. I know, right?
That was so great because...
Oh, did they bring Russell back?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be the big
Russell.
Now.
Russell's basically the one that kills off my guy from SVU, so...
Yeah.
Russell basically takes over, but he's not a believer. So that's the whole thing. He doesn't really believe in Lilith.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of riding the train. And finally, he jumps off the train and he's like, you guys are all crazy. So he leaves and goes off on his own because his whole thing is about walking in daylight and he wants some fairy blood. Mm-hmm. And wow, he found the fairy blood because that rift that they've been going to,
the invisible fairy bar or
right,
whatever
that,
it is
that they've been going to all the time. Like, Russell is like, I smell fairies somewhere. They're around here. And one of the most strongest one tries to kill him.
One of the ancient fairies.
Yeah, she goes out and she's like, Russell apparently killed her, did something to her. And so she's got a grudge. She goes out there and tries to fight him. Russell totally takes her out, drains her completely.
She's dust.
And now he's super power vamp. Like, he was already strong before because he's like 3,000 years old. He drains her, and now he's super powered, and he can now see the veil, and
he can see
all the fairies. Yeah. And they're like, holy crap.
Are fairies only women, or are they men too?
No, there's men. Yeah, it's a whole race of people.
And they're pretty hot too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
great. Wait, so Christopher Maloney got killed?
Oh,
like
yeah.
Four episodes in or something?
He didn't last very long.
No.
As soon as Russell Edgington came back, he was done.
Yeah. They were just kind of using him to kind of set up the authority and the inside workings of the authority and kind of to bring all that part in.
Yeah,
but
you're saying every storyline works now? All of them are good?
Well, the ones that don't, they finish.
They tied off the Hoyt one. They've tied off the...
What did they do with Terry?
They're like a happy couple now. It's really cute, actually.
Yeah, that's
so
gone.
Yeah, so
like
they, really
all
focusing.
The ones that didn't work are gone
because now there's just it's the werewolves and everyone's starting to kind of all the they're starting to kind of converge because even the changelings or Sam and what's her name
right.
kind of they're getting
they're in
now.
The authority
in
and
the
they
authority
just got captured
so
and
all
then
of them are tying in.
Tara and
oh what's her name
Pam
their storyline was. Eric basically left them on their own, and Tara and Pam really have gotten really close, and it's really pretty awesome, that their relationship. And Tara did something because she's a new vamp and thought, you know, that sounds like a solution, and it was totally the wrong thing to do. Because they basically assigned a new sheriff to their region because Eric is now part of the authority, and the new sheriff is like a complete jerk and gave them an ultimatum that they didn't want to do. So Pam is like, you know what, we're just going to screw this bar. We're just going to grab our stuff and run. And Tara's like, you know what? My whole life, all I've been doing is running. She's like, screw that. And so she kills the guy.
Which sounded good at the time.
It sounded like a brilliant idea.
They cleaned up everything. But
yes, it did not. The authority showed up, and they were going to...
Not just the authority. His mom. The new sheriff's
mom. Right.
So she's like, you killed my kid, basically. You know, my progeny.
Yeah.
Real mom or his
sire mom. And it was all pretty good because then Pam, it's showing that Pam really loves her child now. She basically said, Tara's the one who chopped his head off. And she basically says, I did it because of this, this, and this. And so they arrest her for the true death. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go kill Pam. And Tara realizes, what the heck did I just do? Yeah. You know, so like that was awesome. But that all brings everybody all in the same place. So now everyone is all, in the Authority.
Yeah, like you're either in it or you're trying to fight it or trying to figure out what's going on. Yeah, so all the werewolves, like everybody is like
everybody's in the building now. Yeah. So and the other thing that was really pretty awesome is Bill totally drunk the Kool-Aid.
Oh my God, he so did.
He so drunk the Kool-Aid. He is just an absolute believer in Lilith. But what we find out is Lilith is giving everybody. Yeah. Visions of her saying, "You are my chosen one. You are the one that will lead me.
So drink all the
blood." So drink all the blood. And she's telling that to everybody.
To all of the key people. Yeah.
And so they're all killing each other so that they can be the one to drink the blood. And I'm like, whoever drinks that blood is not going to be good. Like, that's going to be bad.
Well, and it's weird because, and that's a point, that's the one thing that I just kind of went, oh, this is really interesting. I don't quite get what they're doing with it. But with the Lilith thing, like, okay, so are we supposed to believe that she is now corporeal or shown? Because the last time they had those visions was when they were all on, like, the orgy festival.
Well, but they all, but that was the thing. They all drank a little bit of her blood, and they went insane.
So, but the thing is, if they're not, are they drinking it now to see her? Because it's like, Bill was just walking through the room, and she was calling to him. It was like, well, what was the last time he had the blood? Is
but
she,
I think
like,
just
coming to them
now? Now that they've like, drank the blood,
there's that connection.
There's that connection, okay. And so Lilith can talk to them.
Okay.
And she's that's getting them to all kill each other, and it's kind of awesome. Like, I... Yeah, everything going on in the Authority is really rocking. Like, it's all, everything came together.
Yeah, yeah.
So, thumbs up.
Yep.
All right, next up is Newsroom.
Oh, this is part two.
Part two.
Part two.
I was going to say of three, but no, it's just part two.
No.
And it was the blackout. That was the whole, the speech she gave, because it was all like, the power went out because she asked God for a sign that they were doing the wrong story. So all the power goes out. She gives this inspirational, crazy speech about how they're destined to work together and they can go back to real stories and we can do this. We can work as a team and we can build the desk out on the street and we can do this and we can get the powers and get the... And everybody, she's giving everybody assignments and everybody's getting hyped. And then the power comes back on.
That was
That was awesome. And then everybody just kind of stares at her like, you've totally lost your mind, but it's kind of cool. And, anybody else talk?
I thought it was really good. Thought it was also one of their, I mean, the show in general is always very funny anyways, but there was a lot in this that I think, cause you and I watched it together. I think there was a lot in this that you and I were laughing, even though it's always a funny show, you know?
I thought it was talking about one of the subplots that people may or may not care about, this quadrangle between Jim and, oh, the young producer.
I don't know their names, actually. But I remember Jim. Jim and the guy we don't like, plus the blonde, and then the brunette.
Right. But I like the roommate a lot.
I they made her out to be silly at first, but this was the first episode where I really saw her as a real person.
I've liked her before this episode, and I'm really kind of hating, you know, the young producer, because she's an idiot for, you know, staying with this guy who treats her like crap all this time.
And I think she just figured that out.
Well, right, because the end of the episode is he tells her about the girl, so we just don't know what's going to happen.
And it's not even just one girl. He's been sleeping around with other girls every time they break up, and she hadn't realized that's what he was doing, and it's like he's giving his excuses. They're sitting on the couch. He's giving his excuses, and she's totally not paying attention to him. She's zoned out. So I think hopefully that relationship is done. I'm hoping.
Which was also good because in the same episode, that's when McAvoy is talking to the therapist, and he's like, you know, I have forgiven. And he's talking about, I always forget, what is Emily? Is it
McKenzie.
He's like, you know, I've forgiven McKenzie, you know, for all this. I totally understand it. Why? And then the therapist
No, he said he can't forgive. He's like,
he hasn't forgiven.
Yeah, he says, intellectually, I understand
this. And he says, because she betrayed you.
It's not because she rejected you. It's because she betrayed you.
Except it's weird because while I want... In the other relationship we're talking about, where the guy's sleeping around with the other girls, I want Allison Pill to end it with him. But in the McAvoy and McKenzie one, actually, I do want them to get together.
Well, I mean, that's what you're supposed to. You are. Yeah. And you're waiting for that.
Betray him. I guess it's because it was years ago, though. I mean.
Right. And obviously, neither one of them has gotten over it, and they are both obviously still in love with each other. And I'm just like, okay, you guys just need to either move, and they're not moving on. Neither one of them. So they obviously want to be back together.
The thing I kind of didn't like was the whole the mock Republican debate.
Oh, I love that. Really? I thought that was really good.
I didn't like it. I thought it was just too easy and on the nose. And that for me felt like, I know where you're coming from, but I just think that's why people have turned on Sorkin, because I think he's just...
Well, I said that too. I was like, he's super left-wing. I was like, if you're right-wing, you're not going to like this show.
And Livia, what was my response when you said...
You said he's not left enough.
Not liberal enough. Like, I want more of that. That's the stuff I love about the show.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't like that, then whatever, but that's not my problem. Like, I really like that about the show. So.
I'm kind of annoyed that HBO has apparently shown us, like, the climax of the season finale. Because with,
oh, in the preview?
Yeah, with Jane Fonda.
Oh, I don't... Wait,
yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, we did see the preview.
We've seen it several times, because they've run it coming up on the newsroom in the next few weeks. Coming up in the next 2 weeks.
But we don't know. We don't know if that's actually the climax. We have no idea.
Well, but it seems like...
It does seem like it, but we don't know.
Well, we know they have a season two, so...
Oh, no. We do know that, but still, it's bad... marketing to give away such a crucial plot point.
All right, let's wrap that one up. Thumbs up. Cannot wait for next week. Next up, we're going to talk about the finale, Political Animals. It's either the series finale or the season finale.
They're billing it as season finales. So.
Yes, they are. So, but they haven't officially renewed it for season two.
This
either.
Is true. I like this episode much better than the previous weeks.
I do too. And the brother was not as annoying. In this one, and I think it's all the consequences of everyone's actions kind of came to play.
Bingo.
So you got repercussions of the responsible son's betrayal. You get the repercussions of that, and what was great in his speech to his mom. Apparently, all the issues he's had since a child all came out.
Seriously.
Like, every problem he's ever had with his mom came out in that conversation.
I love the conversation she has with her ex-husband, saying, have you talked to him? He's got issues.
And she's like, apparently he's had issues with me since he was a teenager. So that was all pretty good. And his whole rant, though, his getting married to his girlfriend, eloping? That seemed like a really bad idea.
Well, you know, it's a complete knee-jerk reaction to him sleeping with the reporter.
Oh, I know. So it's and the whole reason he slept with the reporter was because he was having doubts about marrying the woman. And so then he... Anyway, I thought that was silly. And I actually do not care about that relationship at all.
I don't think we're supposed to. Really.
And then the boss got fired for sleeping with his intern... Or whatever. She's not an intern, but... Basically... If you're the head of a newspaper, you shouldn't be sleeping with multiple reporters in your staff.
You shouldn't be sleeping with any reporters under you, especially not...
If you're in the news industry. So, and he was giving preferential treatment for articles based on who he was sleeping at the time. So him being fired, I felt no sympathy. I was like, yeah, you should have been fired.
I have to give them the Brass Cojones Award for... having Air Force One go down.
Oh, right.
And having the lame brain vice president, you know, jockeying to declare himself president, you know, swear himself in before they find the bodies.
Right. They're like, that is kind of uncool. Like the plane goes down, he immediately tries to declare himself the new president. And they're like, can we find the bodies, maybe have a funeral first before you do this? And he's like, but I want the power now! Like, he was just such a jerk about it.
I feel sorry for Dylan Baker, because he usually plays jerks.
Yeah. I was mad because Adrian Pasdar is not dead.
Well, we haven't found the body yet.
Huh? You said you're mad because he's not dead?
That he is, because I like Adrian Pasdar. Oh, so. Yeah.
And he had this great speech where he found out that she was totally going to backstab him, and he basically talks her out of it.
Yeah, it was really good.
And basically he says, I'm going to dump the idiot vice president. You run with me next term.
Oh. Yeah, and that was a really good speech.
So,
yeah.
We don't know how Air Force One went down?
Oh, nice. She has conspiracy.
But... Where's Jack Bauer? Oh, he's still on Fox in a new show.
Damn.
All right. So, thumbs up. If they come back,
I'll watch.
Yeah.
It's described as Aaron Sorkin meets Jackie Collins.
All right. Next up, the season finale of Falling Skies, which, by the way, the ratings are through the roof on this. So, they were talking about the fact that this is a really good comeback for the show. Like, season one had really low ratings, and season two is...
season one didn't have low ratings, it's just the critics hated it.
Well, it didn't have great ratings. Right. Like, the ratings now are pretty good.
The ratings are good, and the show's firing on all burners.
Right, so it was a good finale.
That was the casting news I had. Gloria Rubin is doing an arc next year from ER.
I know who that is.
And then somebody else famous, but I'll think of it later.
But Terry O'Quinn finished up his arc as Mr. Evil. he basically got deposed of all power. And then the second mass, basically, they went on this whole suicide mission thing. And the mission was okay, but I have to say... Evil Karen, what?
Evil Karen.
Oh, right. I am so tired of her. Can we just kill her already? Like, she is the most uninteresting villain ever. But what makes her even more uninteresting is that most of the time... most of the time she's not speaking for herself. Most of the time... the aliens are speaking through her, so it's not even her. And then the couple of times when it is her, she's even more annoying. And I'm just like, can we just kill her, please? Because that's easy. Have another actor as a spokesperson for the aliens. That shouldn't be a big deal. The only reason they want to use her is because she slept with the elder son. Oh! They made him evil. Like, really? Come on.
Robert Sean Leonard is doing an arc next year.
He is?
Oh!
From House.
Oh. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they made the elder son. They gave him some sort of bug in his ear.
Very Wrath
of Khan, right?
Yeah, seriously.
So they stick a bug in his ear, and now he's evil. And I'm just like,
it was in his. Well, she Frenched. She Frenched him.
Right.
It comes out his eye and then crawls into his ear.
I only know it because I read the review on IO9. So
it was so silly, and I'm like. That actor was barely holding it together as the elder son who was doing the right thing and always was did the right thing. And he barely could do that. Now you're telling me you want him to play evil? No. He doesn't have the chops.
He wasn't Terra Nova bad, though.
No, that's it. He held it together. Like, I believed him as the elder son trying to be the big brother, and he was okay.
I was surprised that they killed the supporting... like Asian dude.
Oh yeah,
a lot of people were like, "Why'd they kill him?"
He was cool. I liked that.
He was very cool.
Yeah, though his name was Dai. So
usually not a good sign.
They didn't kill the black guy though. I was surprised because as soon as Dai went down,
Black guy, they killed another one a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but he wasn't as
we have an unending supply.
But I like this guy because he's the one who went off with Pope. He's the one. Who has always kind of been really consistent. So I liked him. But as soon as Dai went down, I was like, I was afraid that the black guy was going too. I don't know his name, though. Now that I think of it, I know Dai's name, and I don't know that guy's name.
It's kind of hard to get Dai.
I think the bitchiest thing Karen did the whole episode was revealing that the doctor was pregnant.
And well, she was.
You didn't know.
Yeah, I know. It's like, really? Like,
you suck.
It wasn't like she was trying to keep it a secret, other than
she wanted to tell him when they got back from the mission.
Right, and so she's like, "I will spoil you and tell you the news now, as I threaten to kill your unborn child." Whatever, go away, not so evil woman. But other than her, I think it all came together really well. The alliance worked with the Skitters. The mission was...
except for the Skitters didn't make it out of the alliance.
I know, all the Skitters got killed.
I just wonder...
The Harness kids are still there, though.
I just wonder where that puts... because Professor Mason, or Noah Wiley's character...
Tom Mason.
Yeah, Tom... I should remember that. Tom was expecting his son to have to leave them again.
Right, and then he...
to lead these kids. And then he tells his younger brother, "No, I'm staying."
Right.
So, and Tom was like, huh?
Well, the second mass isn't staying in South Carolina, so they're going to be on the move again. What?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, I think that's another reason, because I think part of it was Ben was like, I can't go with you guys to South Carolina because, you know, I'll bring trouble. But if they're on the move, it's not as big of a deal. And also, I think we're going to need Ben when the elder brother is now evil. So you're going to need him.
I hope that arc doesn't last long.
Please don't. That looks so stupid. But other than that, I'd say the season ended well. The cliffhanger is the big alien that comes. Some alien we've never seen.
I have a sneaking suspicion that alien is going to be played by Doug Jones. because...
Oh, the alien inside. Well, it's just CGI, because, man.
Well, but still, they have to do motion mocap.
But the whole big deal is he friend or foe? I'm going to put my money on friend, because, well, because they don't need any more foes.
Not only that, they were pointing the big gun at the skies, and there was no human Air Force left.
Oh, good point. Mm-hmm. Good. Good call.
That's my guess.
All right. Let's wrap that up.
And plus, he's humanoid looking, and so we were...
No, but he has a super alien face, though.
Yeah, but he's human. I mean, he doesn't have 15 legs or anything.
That doesn't mean that they're friends. But, okay, let's wrap that up.
Thumbs up for Falling Skies Season 2.
Right. Next up, we were going to talk about Continuum for a moment. Mm-hmm. Anybody remember where we are on Continuum? We were going to have a second podcast, but that kind of didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So the show is getting further and further away, so we figured we should talk about it now.
While we remember.
While we remember what we remember. Peter, do you remember the end of Continuum?
You mean of the entire end, or you mean where we left off when we were talking about it?
Well, just like the last, probably the last couple episodes, like... the ranch, when the ranch gets under attack because all the kids lose their minds.
Right, that was good.
That was a really good episode.
That's the second to last episode.
Yeah,
right.
I really like that one.
I can talk about the season in general, but yeah, I don't remember specifically.
Well, specifically what I remember about that episode is they do the whole time loop where you have the young kid is talking to the old man. Well, no, that was the finale. But the kid... is working with what's his name? Kagami. Yeah, yes. Thank you.
Right.
So the stepbrother is talking to Kagami, and Kagami and they both get these similar tattoos, mm-hmm. and he's like, you join Liberate, and you have a purpose, you have a mission, blah blah blah, and you're wondering what the heck is that, and why is it so important that he does all these steps, and he's like, oh, he can't be killed, blah blah blah. I'm like, what does he know that he's not telling us? Yeah. And what you find out is in the future. When Kagami goes to jail, that's how he learns about Liberate, is from the kid when he's older.
Yeah.
And so that it's all full circle. And then I like the conversation where Kagami has captured Alex, and he's telling him about a tsunami and a bucket, and you're just like, what? What does this conversation mean? I don't understand what any of this is talking about. And then he's like, yes, we're going to have the same conversation in reverse. And he's like, what? And then we actually see it.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
It's slightly changed a little bit. It's like it's still reflective.
But it's actually more menacing.
Exactly, because you realize where it came from.
Right. And you realize that, of course, Smoking Man, who is playing the old Alex, mm-hmm. is maybe not as good
as we would think. Yeah.
And you're like, Alex goes evil? But I like Alex.
But it's cool, though.
I like Alex, too, but that makes sense why they hired the guy from X-Files, because he's kind of like that.
Exactly.
He's very menacing.
And it's cool, because while we like Alex... right now, because he's helping Kira and he's a good kid, and it makes you wonder, with the information that he's getting from his own secret coded file, like his backdoor file in his system, you know, it's like it makes you wonder if this time loop that they're in, like you were saying, was it created by him, and is there actually a chance for it to change at all? Like,
it seems everything, you know, no matter what they're doing, everything is happening. There. Yeah, it's one of those, we were talking about paradoxical and non-paradoxical time travel,
mm-hmm.
and this is non-paradoxical time travel, meaning no matter what you do, the future always happens the way it's supposed to happen, and you cannot do anything to change it.
Yeah.
That is what it looks like is happening right now.
I don't think we mentioned it from before, because it was one of the episodes we hadn't talked about when we talked about it last time, but I do think one of the interesting things is, remember how we had the discussion earlier on about Kira's loyalty to her husband and how she might go, you know, might take with Carlos. Then there's what's his name, right? With
this
Kelly.
Is me sticking my finger down
I
my
know.
Throat.
So here she is with the other guy, with Kelly, and she goes ahead and sleeps with him.
Yeah, I hated that.
She only did it to get that piece. And I'm like, really? You're going to have an affair just to get a piece of tech back?
That was kind of a key piece in my mind for her.
That felt a little cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It made me really...
Cheap or desperate, I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, but the thing is, she's stronger than him, she's faster than him, she's smarter than him. There are several things she could have done to get that piece back other than sleep with him.
Or maybe she's smart enough to know that that was really one of the only ways that she could get that close to him. Because that's his character. That's what he's into. So I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt, but I was just like, don't... I really wish it had been with Carlos first.
Thank you. I mean, we all hope that if she does get with Carlos, that it's serious and it's not just sleeping with him to get tech or whatever. Yeah. So
there's still hope for that.
But, yes.
But then, of course, as we get near the end, one of the key things we find out after the whole, blowing up of the building and, it's this building, it's that building, is the fact that we're in the hospital and we find
and
baby
Kagami is born on the same day that he's killed.
Yep.
Yes.
And so
then the other big thing we find out is about the freelancers, which will probably be season two.
Yeah. Right. They're like, were you sent by the freelancers? And she's
actually,
like, what's
and that was really good. I liked how she met this guy who was also from the future, and he's made this time machine. And by the end of the episode, you see that he's gone crazy.
He's from the future.
He is from the future,
right. But he's been here so long and been homeless and messed up that he's just, he's a mess.
Yeah, his time machine is made out of bicycle tires.
Right, and tinfoil helmets and stuff hats and stuff like that. But that was really good. I thought that was nice. Nice touch.
Yeah.
Because you were starting to believe him.
I know, it was kind of weird. You're like, wait a minute, this is totally unexpected. And what is going to happen? Is the piece going to help?
And
because he knew so much. We were doubting just as much as she was, but he kept saying the right things. Like, he knew stuff. He really was. So I guess it makes us wonder, too, is there anyone else?
Right. How many other people got thrown back?
Yeah.
And then what the heck is a freelancer? And does that mean that you've got time travelers just running around doing stuff?
The time jumpers, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting.
It is.
Yeah, so we'll see. I like it.
Yep. So thumbs up so far for the series.
Yeah.
Yeah, thumbs up. I agree.
So all you people who have not seen it or can't see it in the U.S., I have no idea how to recommend that you see it.
But be creative and you might be able to, like we have.
Yes.
That's
continue with two U's.
Yes.
All right. Next up is Warehouse 13. And this week's episode was basically Claudia is in training to become
Regent.
A regent. And I don't know how they pick regents or whatever, but I like the idea of Claudia as a regent.
Maybe they're hot too when they're young.
Well, there's obviously something in them. And boy, I think the coolest thing in that entire episode, it kind of got me a little bit, was the creation or like
the creation of the artifact.
Right.
That was kind
of
cool.
It was like a moment of bravery with something else. It's a location and an item and all these things mixed together that make an artifact. She got to see one born, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But she also got to understand that there's a price to pay for being the regent, because the regent then introduces her to her grandson, who's in an old folks home.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's like, yes, you could be a regent, but you live as long as your warehouse or wherever your location is until you're released from duty. And I feel like Mrs. Fredrickson is really kind of like, I'm done.
She is. Well, she kind of made a point, with the gray streak
with the gray
in her hair.
Well, she got the gray streak because the warehouse died. Yeah, but she doesn't know exactly what happens, but she knows something happened.
Yeah.
And so she's ready. She's done. So she's training her replacement. Right. So all of the... only thing is, again, I'm tired of Artie and his paranoia. It's just like, that is just so wrong. Like, there's something wrong with that plot line because it's not the actor, because he's a good actor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But there's something wrong with that plot line that makes
forced.
Me just really... Yes.
It seems like they're really trying to force some sort of a conspiracy that isn't there with, like, the whole... with again, I just can't think of Brent Spiner's character and what he is, the monk thing.
Brother,
or
whatever.
Brother. Like, that whole thing, they're trying so hard to force that as a conspiracy. And then I think what bothers me is that they've added on that was their only way of getting the whole, fix everything with the time so that Claudia could be this suspect for Artie, like, is she going to kill him or not?
That's how
they explain it. Like, really? You go through all this trouble, it's like, it's the fallout of him using that device, and it just bothers me.
Did we find out who was stealing the artifacts, though?
Yeah, Brent Spiner. He said, I will unravel your life.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
And so we know that it's him.
It just seems so inconsequential. Was he wasn't actually in the episode, was he?
Not in this one. He was in the one before.
Yeah.
I just think that's weird when you do something like that. Like,
yeah.
I'm looking for somebody. Well, last week he said he was going to get you, and this week he did.
That's
just lame.
Yeah.
I kind of, I like having Jinx back.
Yes, mm-hmm. Jinxie is great.
And I also thought the...
other plot line.
The main plot line. the case of the week. I thought it was funny that the same actor who was playing a bad guy on Grimm in the two-parter season opener...
Is the hockey guy.
Is the
good
hockey
guy.
Good guy.
I know.
This week on Warehouse.
He always plays bad guys.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
he always plays bad guys.
But this
was
the first...
he's the mob dentist in this one.
Right.
In Grimm, and now he's...
Yeah. But it's the first time we've seen him play a good guy, and I kind of liked him.
Me too.
With Micah.
Yeah, they actually had really good chemistry.
And Mike and Micah.
Yeah,
and they were like, our names rhyme, and then it was like some opera. She's like, you love that opera. It was just, their chemistry was pretty good. Like, I really did like them.
I love her anyways.
I was, say what?
I love her.
I don't.
I don't either.
I think, really? I think she's pretty. I think she's not a good actor.
I agree with you. Your assessment is correct. I think she's the weakest actor on the show.
How interesting was it, and they never used the black chick.
Oh no!
Oh my God!
I don't even know why she's even in the credits.
I'm surprised. Yeah, she must have like a, you know, the 9 out of 13 deal or whatever. Yeah.
That's strange. But anyway, let's move on.
Oh, also, shout out to the psych people in this week's episode.
Oh yes, we had two actors from
Lassie
psych.
Lassie plays the hockey team owner, and she plays
the crazy
woman stalker with an artifact.
I did notice that. I was like, huh, two actors from psych. Interesting.
We must be shooting in Vancouver, even though one of them is American.
All right,
we must not be in this week's psych episode that much.
So,
all right, next up, let's talk about Major Crimes. And Peter, you still haven't started watching Major Crimes yet? Peter?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I saw the opening of the pilot, but that's all I've seen.
You should, you don't like Raider?
No, I do. I just haven't had time. I just haven't seen it yet. No, I'm totally not against it. How many episodes have aired so far?
Two. So you're not far behind. So
do you like it?
I like Raider. I like her, but I'm not sure I like the new mandate.
I like it. I don't love it. I hope they toss the mandate, because if that's the...
The mandate is very unappealing.
If we're just going to get people to confess and then cut them a sweetheart deal,
that doesn't interest me. Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem that a lot of the cops... Well, no, the cops on the show. Like,
and the critics.
Yeah, they're ready to quit because... they don't like the fact they go through all this hard work to capture this guy, and then it's like, okay, what kind of deal can we get them to agree to? So basically, you cut them a deal, and then they confess. And it just seems like, well, that's only half the work.
But we're saving money!
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't care. So, as a viewer...
It's not good drama.
Yeah, as a viewer, I don't care, because it's like, I understand what Raider's saying intellectually, and I know that's what's happening now in the courtrooms for real. I get that. But it's kind of unsatisfying when you watch a cold-blooded killer kill people in, you know, like in one of the episodes, like he deliberately doubled back, shot his friend in the head, and then shot his other friend on the roof. And then he's not convicted for either one of those crimes because he claims that those were accidents, which they're not.
And because they couldn't prove
it. And they couldn't prove that they... I was like, you guys just...
But they got him on something else.
They got him on 3 manslaughter charges of people he didn't kill that the cops killed. Because he happened to be there. It was ridiculous.
Well, if you're in the commission of a felony...
And anybody who gets killed, you're responsible. I get that. But getting... They got him on 3 consecutive things of manslaughter, which he didn't even pull the trigger for at all. And he got off scot-free on premeditated murder because he set up the entire thing for all his friends to be shot. So...
And I thought it was kind of lame that... the deputy... Oh, what's the black dude?
Robert. Oh, Commander Taylor. But now he's not a commander.
He's like Deputy Commissioner Taylor or whatever.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't give Raider her promotion?
Well, no, the whole thing, that the same thing he told, okay, the dude from Police Academy.
I don't know who you're talking about.
The crotchety old dude who's actually very funny.
Flynn and Provenza.
Provenza. The same thing he told Provenza in the pilot, he tells Raider in this episode, that either play ball or you're going to have to retire. It's like, come on.
Well,
seriously?
He's not as impressive as Pope. Pope has authority. Pope has respect. And when Pope says something, you do what Pope says. And with Taylor, I'm just like, he's always been the joke on the show. So now telling me he's the boss doesn't quite work.
See, I don't have the history that you have. The problem I have is it's the same exact beat that you're of the age that you either retire or you take this job. And then he basically tells her the exact same thing in the second episode.
Well, he told her that she should be thankful that
she should be thankful that somebody at her age, it was basically the same.
Yeah.
I just thought it was lame. If I were her, I would have smacked him.
Yeah, he's not a very good commander, and that part doesn't quite work. But Raider, I think Raider works.
Raider. Well, it's Mary McDonnell.
I'm just saying, she works, and I believe...
Double Oscar nominee, Emmy nominee.
I'm barely saying...
They gotta write a better show for her, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, yes, I can agree, because her chemistry with all the other actors is working.
They gotta figure out what to do with the kid. Because this whole...
I don't mind the kid.
I don't mind him either, but they're, again, they're playing the same beats. You didn't find my mom yet. I hate you. It's like,
yeah,
dude,
but I feel like... It's only been two episodes.
Yeah, but still.
And I feel like she is making progress with him, so that I'm fine with that.
Although I did like when she shot back, yeah, you know, the difference between me and your mother, I'm here. It's
that
like,
was pretty good. That was good.
Advantage Raider.
But I did think... I do think that the new character that they have to replace
the Black
Gabriel...
Chick.
What is
going
on?
I like the actress, but again, they're so obvious that she wants to kiss up to Raider.
Well, the thing is, she literally won't give her opinion until Raider has given her opinion first.
It's,
like, really?
It's very clumsy and writery.
Well, it...
Make her a real character instead of
a
character.
Yeah, right now, she's so unlikable that I'm not sure where they're going. Like, I don't know what they're trying to do with her at the moment. But there's, I mean, I like everybody else, you know, and the case was fine. It's just that when you finally, the thing about the closure is when you get to that moment of resolution, when you get the confession, that's always really
satisfying. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah, and that's always really satisfying.
And plus you had the balance of Brenda Lee's, you know, screwed up social life.
Well, I mean, they're giving Raider some too.
Well, but the kid isn't enough.
I think it could be. I think they're... I'm okay with giving them time to figure that out.
Okay.
I'm okay
with that. I will give them, like, the first half dozen, eight episodes before I, you know, decide if I'm in or out.
Yeah, but, I mean, I like everything. I just think that they need to rethink the whole...
Making deals
thing and not letting...
And stop letting Taylor pontificate about why we're doing stuff this way.
Okay. Moving on. Next up, I want to talk about Grimm. And the best moment is, of course, when the police chief, played by Sasha, what is his name?
Royce.
Right.
Yeah.
Captain Renard. I was about to say, well, he's
Captain
from...
Captain what?
Renard.
I thought you said something else.
He's from Caprica, and on Caprica, he played an awesome assassin. Mm-hmm. So one thing I knew that other Grimm people might not know is I know what that man looks like without his shirt on. So my whole thing through that whole scene, like when he's falling out, I'm like, take your shirt off.
Just take his shirt off, though, man.
He ripped
it
off.
A Hulk rip.
And then when he did the rip, I was like, and thank you.
A million screen caps just got captured across America.
And then we go to commercial break, and he comes back, and he's rolling all over the place.
Turning green, turning red, turning, I don't know, yeah. But
yeah, and I was like, yes. That's the thing, is I'm like, if you have a hunk like that on your show, why are you not letting
loose?
Yeah, I was like, why are you not letting people know this?
Oh, yeah.
So
is
now...
Already you man candy.
Well, you know what? When you've already had a first season and you know it's back there and you
know
it's back
it
there,
and he's the and whole like... first season he never takes his shirt off for the entire first season. So I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like 6'3" and gorgeous.
I can see next year, at Comic-Con or during interviews. I just like to thank the producers of Grimm for getting Sasha Ruiz's top off episode 2.
Of course, that's not the entire plot, but
that was the highlight for me.
My favorite moment of the episode was when Rosalie gives Nick's mom a hug.
Oh, that was so awkward.
That was
so cute.
No, but it was such a night because
it was so Rosalie.
But also there was a lot of speculation. Oh, is mom good or bad?
I still think she's evil.
I don't think so.
I think so. I was going to come in here saying I was absolutely right. She doesn't leave town like she's supposed to. She's not taking the coin.
I didn't say she didn't have an ulterior motive, if you remember
she's
our discussion.
Yeah.
Evil!
I don't think she's evil.
I don't think she's evil
I
either.
Just think she's been on her own for so long.
Yeah.
She was willing to cut herself off from her only kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then she can't deal with the fact that he's friends with these creatures that she spent a lifetime hunting. She's just got, like, no social skills.
She can't trust anyone, not even her own
son.
So
why do you think? So why do you think she's circling back?
Because she probably has. She probably does have some
ulterior motive.
She's
got something else.
She may know something. Yeah.
She might know something about Captain Renard.
Yeah. So I think she may have other information we don't know yet, and this is what I'm hoping they'll feed out to us at some point later on. But what my guess is, a couple episodes down the road, or whenever, how often she's in it, she'll have to come back around. Nick will find out she's still around, and it'll be like, okay, I need your help.
And call her on her, what are you still doing here?
And then
what aren't you telling me?
Yeah, and then
we finally found out that the police captain's a prince. We didn't know that. He's part of the royal family. I knew he was part of the royal family. But we didn't know he was a prince.
We didn't know what part
where
he was.
We didn't know what he was, but we knew he was part of he was royalty.
Yeah. Right, because everybody, the way they act behind
how awesome was it when Mom took off, took out the Hexen Beast.
Hexen Beast.
She's like, I'm just going to go and talk to her.
That didn't go well. Oh, good.
That was pretty good. But I hated the mom anyway, so I was... Well, the Hexen Beast mom.
Oh, it's Dan Flanagan from True Blood.
I know.
Yeah, I hated her.
The actress or the character?
The character.
Okay. You're supposed to hate her.
Yeah, I know. So I was glad when she got staked. It was fine.
CG work was great. I like the Hexen Beast. She's creepy looking.
And she would always growl at people. Yeah. Like, she's like, it costs $300. Growl. $250.
But then, how cute when Monroe comes back out and he's like, does she know how close she was, for, like, getting all, you know, whatever, like, me attacking or whatever it was. And Rosalie's like, how sweet. They're so cute together. They are a much more... believable couple than, of course, Nick and Juliet.
But of course, now has amnesia.
I know, of course. The prince's kiss at the end. We knew it was going to be Renard anyway.
But actually, of course,
because he is a prince.
And he did the potion and did the fairy tale thing and kissed the girl.
And that was actually kind of cool and creepy at the same time.
Yeah.
But
then the whole memory loss, yeah.
Well, I thought that it was going to be something weird, like when he kisses her, she's going to see him and be like in love with him or something.
That's what I thought they were going for,
but then that's not what happened. It's just like, who the heck are you?
But think about it, maybe that will be. I don't know.
But maybe the first time she sees him, she'll be like, oh, dude, you're the...
Yeah.
I think that would be cool.
To Renard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I think I'm hoping that's kind of what the track they go. Because then how weird would that be for Nick? Because he doesn't know Renard came and kissed her at all.
Right.
And the woman who does know is dead because Mama Grimm killed her. So nobody would have any idea why Juliet actually woke up when she did.
Right.
And what was behind it. So it could very well be that when she sees Renard, maybe the potion is like, that is your true love, the prince, and there's a
Well, because you have to have a pure heart and have true love in order to wake her up.
Right.
Yep.
So he had to do that crazy thing. So now he did have pure love in his heart when he kissed her. Well, maybe he's attracted to her too.
Isn't that true?
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Be like, what the hell's going on?
That would be cool. That's the only way I could actually like this amnesia storyline.
Me too.
Because right now, if they take advantage of it.
Instead of the whole, we have to fall in love with each other again.
Please don't do that awful movie
with what's his face, who takes his shirt off a lot. You were talking about the vow.
That's the one.
I hope if these two episodes are an indication that they focus more on arc stories this year, because the standalones last year were not generally very good.
Well, I did read a report recently or an article recently where they did say that they are going to, unfortunately, have the standalone week. But this arc, the reason they had the two-parter opener was so that they could establish an arc for the series.
Okay.
For the season.
And it looked like...
But they do still have to have some standalones.
Because NBC makes you.
Yeah, you know, just to kind of...
I don't think it's necessary.
And I hope... I'm glad that next week, finally, hopefully, Hank will find out what's going
on. I know, right?
Because if not, he is like the worst detective
ever.
But at least in this episode, he was like, okay, some weird... going around, and he's like, you know, he's sitting there going, Nick, okay, you know, what is he's starting to actually clue in to stuff,
and he's asking
know?
Questions.
Yeah, so he at least is starting to, and so who knows if he goes renegade and starts okay. noticing. All right,
Grim, two separate thumbs up.
Next up is White Collar finale-ish. Is it
no? This week.
Okay,
this week
yeah,
is
no, this one.
This week
this
is
one.
The winter or summer finale.
Yeah.
So what was this one?
The Mozzie episode.
The Mozzie episode.
Orphan Mozzie.
Yeah.
Little Orphan Mozzie.
Yeah, Little Orphan Mozzie. So it was cute.
It was fun.
Yeah, but nothing big.
Nothing earth shattering.
No. But it was good to see the relationship that Neil and Mozzie had, and Peter helping them. The conspiracy thing was kind of interesting.
I like when they go on treasure hunts.
Yeah.
Those are actually... Because you were like, oh, you had always have tension between Peter and Neil. I was like, no, you don't. You can have special cool episodes. And this was an example of one of those.
Oh, yeah,
Especially when they're teamed up to help Mozzie.
Yeah. But it was because they had something else that they were both...
And I think that's all you have to do.
If they can't do that every week, it would bore me to death. It would be a buddy movie. They need to still have some tension.
I don't think so.
I do.
A little tension keeps things...
But I like the fact that Peter's obsession with treasure hunts and those kind of things is like one of his little pet things.
Yeah, that's kind of like a hobby or something.
Yeah, and I think that his wife is always encouraging him to do. So that's always pretty good. And he's good at it. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the skills that he has that he might be a little better at Neil mm-hmm. at. So,
well, some people do Sudoku. this is what Peter does.
He solves things.
And the whole conspiracy thing, actually, at the end, you find out it really was a conspiracy. I was like,
does anybody know if that's a real thing or if they just completely made it up?
The culprit, I think, is real. But okay. The book that the guy created was fake or whatever. But the whole idea of the culprit actually is true. And that's...
See, those are the best kinds of things when you take an urban legend that has a grounding in a real legend.
And it's like, are they really still around?
Yeah. Right.
So that...
That was all pretty good. Sleepy Hollow
or something.
Yeah. So that's cool. Yep.
So thumbs up.
Two thumbs
good
up.
Good episode.
Yes.
All right. Next up is Rookie Blue, and we haven't talked about it in forever,
since
probably.
Like the first so since
it's the first
yeah.
couple episodes of the season. And we really haven't talked about it because not a lot has happened. But they started this whole arc, which started off kind of shaky because the first episode, I think me and Peter both were like, eh. It was the one where Peck went undercover as a call girl, and she really didn't work as a call girl. It's just like, it was kind of a silly episode, but it ends with her being kidnapped. So, and Peter, you watched the first one, right?
I watched part of that one, and then I watched the one that aired Thursday, because I guess I misunderstood you. You had said, oh, Rookie Blue was really good. So I watched the one that just happened, but actually that's after the fallout. And I can kind of ascertain what happened, but you can probably explain it.
I don't really want to explain it. It's just...
Well, it looks like one of the characters died.
Yeah, one of the major characters, like, literally just got killed. I was like, what? But of course, it was one of the situations where everybody's happy, and you can't have everybody happy. It was a very Joss Whedon moment, like, okay, everyone's happy now, so let's kill somebody. Oh. So it's like, he's planning for his wedding, and he picks out his best man, and he gives him a watch, and he goes, well, I know giving you a watch is bad luck, so buy me a beer later, and it'll be fine. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, like, writers, you did not.
And her name is Peck. She gets kidnapped and nobody can find her, and he accidentally finds her and basically consciously pretty much dies for her. And
were they gonna kill her?
Which one is that?
Peck is the blonde.
Blonde.
Yeah.
Play Flash Gordon?
No, the woman.
Oh,
Peck.
Oh, the woman, okay.
Yeah. So what was your question, Peter?
How does he, like, because you're saying he sacrificed himself. Were they about to shoot her in the head or something? Or?
Well, the guy that captured her, the reason they were after this guy is because he rapes and murders women. And he had caught her, and he had her locked in his basement, chained up, and they knew they only had 24 hours to get her out of there. And he accidentally figured out the guy. Like, he actually didn't figure out the guy. He thought this guy might have seen the guy. So he was just going over to him to ask questions. And then once when he gets into the dude's house, he realizes he's in the right place and is like, holy crap. And just as he's reaching for his gun, of course, he gets stabbed several times. And he's laying there and he realizes that he might be bleeding out. And if he just lays still and maybe if he used his phone to call 911, he might have been okay.
Yeah.
But he uses his phone to stick it in the killer's pocket so that they can find Peck because he knows the guy's going to leave.
Yeah.
So he puts his phone in that dude's pocket, and as he's dying, he's like, trace my phone. And so, yeah, I mean, he made a conscious decision instead of calling for help. Mm-hmm. He used his phone to save Peck. So Peck is then, the next episode, super consumed with guilt and stuff because she feels like her best friend's fiancé died for her, and she thinks her best friend's going to blame her. And so that
But in the episode I saw, Peck seems okay.
Well, you missed the actual fallout episode, because the second episode was like the funeral and everybody falling out and everybody crying, and Peck refused to leave the hospital because she didn't feel like she could face anybody. Like, that was the big emotional episode. And so this episode, everybody's trying to get back to normal.
But in fact, even that's what the precinct guy, the chief or whatever, is like, we've got to go by the book. We've got to get back on track and everything.
The whole thing is they have to get arrests and stuff like that. So they have to not really cook the books, but get as many arrests as possible. And McNally's boyfriend, Ben Bass, I can't think of his name. He basically claims that he's okay and he really isn't. And I like that moment where his partner for the episode was like, you need to get yourself together. But what'd you think?
Well, I was expecting a really huge thing. I didn't realize I had missed the other episode, so like, or that it was in the other episode. So it was a good episode. The bigger thing for me was more the guy who shot the guy at the convenience store. He's still seeing that the sister.
Yeah, that's so creepy.
And then he gets beat up at the end. Although it was weird, because do you think the people who beat him up, do they know he's a cop or no?
Yeah, they do know he's a cop.
You can't beat up a cop even if he's off duty.
I realize that, but...
And and they see his face. He sees their faces, and they don't kill him. So I'm like, what are you thinking? Like,
at first I thought the same thing, but then I realized he's hiding his relationship with that girl as much as the girl was hiding the relationship. So he's ashamed of it. So he's not going to tell people why he got beat up.
This, by the way, is why I always think that policemen should have grenades on them. Because
grenades? What?
Every time I see this in shows where you have some police officer and like they get knocked down and then you have the bad guy, you have the bad guys go in the car, all you have to do is throw the grenade into the car.
That's good police work. Do is
death. But of course he has no grenade on him. So this doesn't...
Wow.
That's awesome.
You cannot be a cop. Like, I've decided right now.
But now I want a show to do that very badly.
He takes care of the bad people. It would be 2 seconds, you know? Like,
we just have like a string of little mini grenades that cops can have.
Exactly. You know,
okay, Peter. No badge for you.
With magnetic grenades.
but my only theory is they think he's not going to report them. And I don't think he is. I think he's absolutely ashamed of his relationship with the girl.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's probably what it is. Well, we saw in the trailer for next week, he's got some bruises, but he's back in uniform. So
yeah, he's not going to... And I'm sure people will be like, what the heck happened to you? And he better come up with a really good lie. But yeah, because especially because his excuse for why he didn't go to work that day was that he had to go to the doctor's office. So
that was a pretty good excuse. He's like, I do all my doctor appointments in one day. I was like, oh, that's a good idea. Like,
thing. I was like, that's very efficient. But he gave that excuse and it was a great excuse, but how do you explain getting beat up at the doctor's office?
Right, that's true. Yeah, I don't know what's gonna happen.
But I thought the episode was okay, but I think they're building up. They show the preview for next week. It looks like they're gonna try to have another big episode because apparently there's a shooting in the police station.
Oh yeah, in the jail or what. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like it's gonna be pretty big. But please go back and watch the last...
Yeah, I gotta watch it. Of course, now I know the guy dies, but I mean, yeah, I will go back, so...
Oh, yeah. I didn't expect him to die, actually, because when he got stabbed, like, the whole time, I'm, like, waiting for them to be like, oh, he's gonna be fine, because remember the last guy, who was a major character, got shot, and you thought he was gonna die? They went to the hospital, he was fine. So this
guy, they get
him to the hospital, and you're thinking, oh, he's gonna be fine, and they're like, oh, he's dead. Like, oh. Yeah, anyway... So, next up, thumbs up for Rookie Blue. Next up, you guys wanted to talk about Burn Notice because I kind of stopped watching the show.
It's been frustrating for me, especially this season. There's a really nice we're still Michael searching for the man who killed his brother.
Though, to be fair, the guy wasn't trying to kill his brother. That was an accident. He was trying to kill the big bad, the blonde dude.
He
shot Avery, and the bullet went through that guy.
And through Nate, and through the freaking wall.
That's true, but to be fair, he wasn't trying to kill his brother.
Who brought the hand grenade to the gunfight? Peter did! There's a really nice moment in the episode between Madeline and John C. McGinley's character.
Yeah, Tom Card. But keep in mind, while that was going on, because when they first set that up with her going to talk to him, and he starts saying, oh, you know, she's like, well, you know, how can one son be this way and one be the other? And, you know, it's she's really, you know, just trying to find out what happened to her son, and she only has Michael left, and so she knows he's on this mission.
Michael apparently is not her favorite at the moment.
Yeah, it's, at the moment, this is true. Well, the thing that's really cool is even just starting out, the moment when Michael goes to see Madeline and she's just like, Sharon Gless did a great job on that one.
Another Emmy Award winner.
Yeah, she did such a great job in that scene alone, just because she was like, that was a mother who's still very mad at this son for getting her other son who was more innocent and who looked up to him. killed. So she
got his baby brother killed.
Yeah, and so she's still very. He's like, Mom, you know, we haven't talked since the funeral, and I just want to see her. And she's just basically closed off to him still. So he feels bad. He doesn't know what else to do. So he's still trying to find Nate's killer. So he goes, he gets help from Card, and Card's like, okay, the guy you're looking for basically is down in Panama, so he's out of jurisdiction, the whole thing. So Michael gets the whole gang together, and Card's like, don't worry, I got you, you know, I'll help you out. There's a CIA agent there that'll help you.
Well, the whole thing is, he thinks that if he can find the killer of his brother, that his mother will forgive him.
Yes.
His mother will feel better.
There'll be closure. Yeah.
There'll be closure.
And it's the only thing he can do. That's what he does. So for him, that's his only way to fix it, or to try and fix it.
So, my question, does Fee feel overwhelming guilt for Nate's death?
Fee? No.
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 Even though she's the reason why all this happened.
Of course not.
Yes, yeah, but she is feeling, at least in this episode, she's feeling like, okay, Mike, you know, you're trusting CIA when you shouldn't, and of course we find out, oh, she's kind
of
right.
Of course she's right.
But it's setting it up for her being very upset with the whole mission that they're on, even though it's supposedly going to help find Nate's killer. And she just basically wants out. And so it kind of sets her up for not approving of this whole thing. But you're still thinking, I'm going with Michael. He's going to go. He's going to try and get there that close. The CIA's got their back. Tom Card's got their back.
Of course they're not. They don't.
But what's great about it is then you get this whole thing with Madeline, who goes to Tom Card to, like, talk to him and actually get some information. And he does. They have this great moment together where they're sitting there and he's explaining to her, you know, kind of to help her understand, you know, how her sons could be different. And it was a really nice analogy with the glass, the bottles, and this mm-hmm. whole thing. And you're just like, wow, you're like eating it up. And you're like, he's really cool. You know, she needed to hear that.
And of course, it's
a
complete lie.
And then you find out that while they're there, it's like Michael does actually get face to face with the guy. He's got the guy that killed his brother. But now this guy is telling him, it's just Michael. The others are outside away from him. And this guy's like, just before Michael's going to kill him, he's like laughing, going, dude, you have no idea. Card's playing you. And Michael does this thing where he does the phone call to Card, and everything this guy says is true, with this guy TJ. So Michael realizes now that he absolutely was, this was a mission of suicide. This was supposedly going to be
a suicide
mission, that Card wanted Michael to go down there, look for his brother,
killed.
And get killed. And all of them. That's why he approved all of them to go. He like wanted to get
we
rid
went
of that
to
whole
get rid
game.
Of all of them.
So,
it's a setup.
So they get out just in time. There's like an F-18 bomber or something that comes in, blows up the building they were just in. And then, of course, they had, like, the nice, like, the golden-hearted CIA.
Slow-mo
run. Yeah, but they had the nice CIA guy who gets shot.
Oh, yeah. Who wasn't a good actor.
I know, really.
Oh, black dude.
Yeah, so.
Not a good actor.
No, but they had to put someone in there to say, okay, you know, someone has to do the sacrifice at the end to get the, you know, the CIA off their trail. So he takes the car. They get out of the car and run into the bush, and he drives the truck down the road. The F-18 blows up the car, too. So CIA car thinks that the deal's done. But meanwhile,
dead.
The gang is off and running, and they know now. But then at the very end, you think that's bad enough. At the very end, he's gone out of his office now. Card's out of his office, and Madeline's just kind of getting her stuff to go. And he still, like, finishes up, like, this, that heart-to-heart with her, because she has no idea that this man was just in the other room, like, calling for her other son's death.
Right.
And it was like, oh, you're just like, holy crap. We're like, I really wanted Madeline to know, to, like, see through it, but she couldn't, because she only saw that side of it. Yeah. So I thought it was... That whole part of it, the way that played out with the two stories, with Card kind of playing the mom card and then also Michael and that gang, was really well done in this episode.
So. And the assassin is played by Kenny Johnson from The Shield. And
most
recently from the ill-fated Prime Suspect.
Yeah, so
that was
US version.
Well, he was awful in Prime Suspect, but anyway.
It was a weird character for
him. Yeah,
so.
It really was.
I'm just frustrated with this. It just seems like there's always a shaggy dog story.
Yeah.
I'm after this person. Who leads to this person?
Yep.
Who leads to this person?
I don't care.
Seriously.
Yeah, I don't care anymore. That's my problem.
Yeah. No, it's inconsistent, but I liked the...
It's one of those, it's
good.
A show I can grade papers to.
Yeah, I can work on the treadmill. All right,
next up, let's talk about
the summer
finale
of Suits.
Oh, God, dang, it's another one where I just watched it and I was like, no way, no way. Oh, yes, no way. I'm like, my neighbors hate me, I know it.
This season was fantastic.
So good.
Season, like, everything that you wanted to happen, happened. And they did stuff that was unpredictable. You didn't see Compy.
That's
so, like,
the key.
Okay, the whole episode, you think it's going to be about who Lit is going to vote for.
Yep.
You think it's all going
to
be a
build-up
to that.
And they resolved that in the first, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, even less than that. The
Three
first,
minutes.
Like, yeah, the first couple minutes of the show before the opening credits, they finished the vote. And I was like, what?
Yep.
So what's the episode going to be about? The episode was awesome.
Very awesome.
It was just basically him trying to get Harvey to quit.
Yeah.
You know, and everything he was doing to manipulate the situation to make Harvey quit his job, and then Harvey just having a moment where
Hardman?
Yeah, Hardman.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hardman was trying to get Harvey to quit, and because Harvey was like, I'm going to do something you never did for me. I'm going to tell you to your face, I'm coming for you. Which is great, because I was like, Harvey saying that should scare you.
Yeah.
And he was legitimately afraid, so he was like, I need to get Harvey gone.
So he starts to manipulate, he starts to go around, gets Lewis, and...
Oh, best line ever from Lewis? Best line ever from
Lewis. I'm a Lannister. I always pay my...
I always pay my debts. I'm a Lannister.
Nice Game of Thrones reference. Very nice. Thumbs up. And then I thought about it, I was like, he is a Lannister.
He is. He does.
Yeah, he's manipulative.
Because he can be bought.
Yes.
And he'll be loyal to whoever's on his... who's.
And he's always scheming.
Absolutely.
So I was like, oh, he is a Lannister. Nice.
Very good.
I like that he recognizes which house he's from.
Yes.
I think it'll be interesting when we come back in January, the repercussions for Lewis.
Yeah.
Because Jessica told him outright,
if you pick the wrong side,
watch out.
Well, which is true, but she's... And she is venomous that way. Bless her heart.
I love Jessica.
We all love Jessica. So I'm good with that, and I want to see what happens too. But Lewis is such a great character because they've written him. He could be a schmuck. He could be a sleaze bag. You know, whatever you want to call it.
But he's smart.
But he's smart, and they give him just enough of
heart,
or something, some bit of humanity or something to him that
you want him to win.
You kind of feel bad for him. You kind of want him to get something. So what I loved is even though, and we never did actually see that he selected Hardman. We saw him, like, you saw him thinking about it. So we assume he selected Hardman, and that's why he won the vote.
Oh, so you think that maybe...
But because, remember, at the end, when they came in with the fake evidence that
lot of people switched sides.
Well, not enough. I mean, it was a close call. I mean, the vote...
No, but if you look at the room, a lot of people switched sides.
I don't think it was... But don't forget, he had to buy Lewis's vote because it was going to be a close call.
I know, but that was just regular election because everybody thought that he was on the right side. But once they brought the evidence that he was doing wrong, if
that
you look at the room,
that part was
right. When you look at the room, when you look at the room, you see people vote.
A lot of people raised their hands.
So it wasn't just on him. He smelled the change in the room and he switched sides.
I think it was that the look on his face when he raised his hand. I think he realized too that.
He'd been had,
or maybe he really didn't vote for Hardman.
I don't think so.
I think it would be interesting though. That if you read little things on the screen, that was one of the questions that who did Lewis vote for?
Because I don't think it's 100%.
That would be an interesting twist.
He may have actually sided with Jessica, but we don't know that.
That would be an interesting twist in January if it turned out that he did vote for Jessica.
Right,
but. He's not being a Lannister.
Yeah.
He knows where his bread is buttered, so would Hardman won.
Yeah, or he knew because they wouldn't know that he did vote. Remember, you know, Lannister that he is, he just had to play the part. So Hardman thinks he did it. Hardman gives him the office, does the thing, have him play with Harvey, but he doesn't know. Nobody knows for sure.
They specifically made a point of not revealing. I understand that.
I don't know if that's going to be as big of a deal.
This show runs, I wouldn't be surprised though.
But
it still wouldn't get him out of hot water.
Especially because he still went after Harvey like a bullet.
He may have had to do that to put up the appearances.
But if he got Harvey, he really legitimately was trying to get Harvey fired. That's not appearance.
He would do that. He would just do that.
He would just. That's what I'm saying. So that's not necessarily forgivable.
I would like to see. I haven't seen Common Law. Is that the name of it?
Yeah,
it's not that good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, which is why I haven't seen it. I'd like to see Harvey and Lewis go to couples counseling because they've got issues.
They do.
It's this weird, you know,
and envy. You know, Lewis really envies Harvey. To the point where it's kind of unhealthy.
Well, it is, and we know it.
But what I was going to say, what we're skipping over is the whole weed thing.
Well, no, we're not skipping over. We just haven't got there yet.
Oh, okay.
It's on my list.
Because I was like, this is the most surreal moment.
Party.
Yeah, that was so
party.
Surreal.
It was amazing.
Well, when Harvey showed,
because I thought Harvey was going to show up and find him there, and I was going to be like, okay, so what is Harvey going to give him the lecture, or you know, what's going to happen? That was one of the ones where when Harvey just comes in and like starts to light up, that was like, I was like, sorry, neighbors. Yeah! Go Harvey! Pot party at Mike's. That was awesome.
And seeing Harvey high was hilarious.
So awesome.
That was so great.
So awesome.
And they were like, He's like, how did you eat this whole bag of pretzels? He's like, I'm Harvey Specter.
What is it, mush mouth?
Dry mouth.
That was so great.
So that was brilliant. Now the one thing, so all of this was great, I have to say. I love the episode. But the one thing that really, I have to unfortunately say, I did not like.
Even
the new woman out of the blue, I could deal with if they're going to do something with it. But I liked the fact that when Mike was with her, you know, he's still kind of raw from the whole death of grandma thing, right?
So you can forgive
he's
that.
Open. Right, so I totally forgive him on that. Besides, she tells him as they're starting to get into it that she's married, and he does the right thing, and he's like, well, okay, can't do this, good end. Okay, bye.
Then calls her later.
However,
booty call.
When he came into the office and he was in a good mood and it was like, okay, his endorphins are going and he starts kissing Jessica.
Rachel. Woo! That's totally different.
That's for next season. When he starts kissing Rachel, at that point, for her to back off and say, you know, you're still going through these feelings. It's like, what? I'm sorry. If I go back to the last a couple episodes of your lives that have been laid out for me, you guys have pretty much made it clear now that, yeah, you're the ones. Because the other girlfriend from before, she's kind of out of the picture to make it clear that there's room for the two of them.
Yeah, but I know, but you saw the breakup. Their breakup was about the fact that he couldn't tell her the truth.
Right.
That was what their breakup was about.
But it doesn't matter because I think when she came to the door at the end, which I knew she would, I was like, why are you disappointed? It's totally your fault.
Why,
you did it. You
why
had the
doesn't
chance.
He take her? I mean, why doesn't he ever check through the people?
It's in New York City.
He's not with the chain off.
But for one, I just thought, you know what?
She did blow her chance, so she can't be mad. She can't
exactly.
be mad at Mike.
Exactly.
She said no.
I agree.
I just wish that had been different.
But the thing is, I don't care. That's my problem with that relationship.
Well, you want Harvey to get some action.
I want Harvey and Jessica, or Harvey and Donna, or Harvey and...
And we think Harvy and Donna might have anyway at some point.
Well, they did.
They had a one-off.
Yeah.
But I think
Harvey has a thing for Jessica bad. He's got it bad for Jessica.
Well, she's his mentor. Of course he does.
Just saying. And I'd like to see some action in that direction.
That would be interesting. But I'm with you. I'm not into the...
I don't care about
Mike.
We've just seen her ex-husband. That's like the most play she's gotten, right?
Jessica's ex-husband?
Yeah,
but he was a jerk, right?
I know, which is why she divorced his butt.
All right, so wrapping that up, we are thumbs up.
I love this show.
Yep. Yeah, thumbs up on Suits. Cannot wait till January to get more episodes. And I believe that's it for this week.
That is it.
Yeah.
All right. So if you guys have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are on Facebook. And you can listen to us on getthepointradio.com, Krypton Radio, Wheatonopolis, and iTunes. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.